Have you wondered how on earth you infuse yourself into what you're doing every day, into the work that you're doing every day? How do you find this happy place where actually you enjoy the actual physical thing that you're being paid to do? Today's episode, you get to hear an absolutely gorgeous friend who's going to talk about his journey from accounting into travel photography and writing, which doesn't even encapsulate how great he is. Hold on for this episode. You're going to enjoy it.
You're listening to The Brand Compass, conversations to navigate your way to building a brand fit for purpose and poised for success. Here's your host, Shelley Rossland.
Hello there, my friend, and welcome back. If you are a returning listener, thanks, man. It's lovely to have you back with me again. If you're new, welcome. This is the place where we get into the juicy junction where your personal brand meets the humans you serve. I'm Shelley, your host on this conversational journey, and today we are continuing with the conversations with real life people who have gracefully accepted my invitation to come and share how they are faring out in the world with their personal brands and what that looks and feels like for them. So this is the second conversation so far in our series. And my aim is that every guest is a subject matter expert in their field and that they are coming from completely different fields to what you would be used to seeing and hearing from. All right, so now you've got the context. Let's get into the episode. Now, there are not many people that I get to talk to who have known me since my university days. When I moved from South Africa to the UK, I pretty much lost contact with many of my friends and my contacts because, well, social media just didn't exist and life just disappeared before my eyes as it does. So I'm really, really excited to chat to one of my three good friends from university, and that is Ryan Enslin. So what I'm going to do is give you a bit of a background to him, and then we can jump straight in to our conversation today. So Ryan is a vibrant, charismatic creative who has the special talent of turning photography and words into meaningful works of storytelling art. When you talk to him, you'll realize that his camera is more than a tool. It's an extension of his storytelling soul. Through every photograph and sentence, he breathes life into the stories that capture his imagination, offering glimpses into worlds both familiar and unknown. In his words, he literally hunts down stories and relishes unpicking the roots of the story and the people it touches. He writes for hospitality and travel publications like Getaway, South African Sunday Times, Garden and Home, and other luxury travel magazines. He's also a huge proponent for responsible tourism and the restorative opportunities it affords, particularly in South Africa. He travels a lot, obviously, around South Africa and internationally too. And his main home base is in Joburg, where we are both from. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you, Shelley. Good to chat to you.
God, I'm so excited, Ryan, because when we were prepping, I was really buzzing about what we can really get into today with our listeners, because I feel like what you're going to do is show us how following your intuition is so important and how this just blends into shaping a version of yourself that you're happy to share with the world. So shall we kick off with you maybe sharing how you got to focus on the thing that you do today? How are you known for the thing that you do today?
Well, thank you, Shelley. I think, you know, what's really important in order for you to find your purpose and that thing that drives you, I think not a lot of us really think about that which drives us. I was thinking after our prep session the other day, in terms of when I was at school, I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I knew I did accounting really well, and that just became what I studied at university. It wasn't much thinking. Guidance wasn't a big thing in those days, you know? And just because you can do something well doesn't mean you should be doing it, you know?
Correct.
And so I went into that field, but always felt that my purpose wasn't there. I was not doing something that spoke to my soul. And that to me is very important, you know? So I studied it because I could do it. And I went on from there. I qualified as a chartered accountant here in South Africa, got into the corporate world, started working my way up within the audit firm after I'd finished articles, but wasn't sure what I really wanted to do. But I didn't want to leave because I wasn't sure where I wanted to go. And eventually was coming close to having to make that decision of an offer of partnership or the beginning stages of that. And I knew that's not what I wanted. It was the days of Enron and things like that. Auditing was becoming more and more onerous and just It wasn't fulfilling any purpose in myself. I was buying myself mountain bikes and canoes to try and occupy myself on a Sunday to dare myself not to work. And, you know, that happened for maybe one or two Sundays. And then these things became relics at home. So I very quickly realized that this corporate life wasn't working for me. It wasn't feeding my soul. I was an unhappy person, all those typical things you hear about, you know. And it just, I went through a series of events that led me down a path to just trying to find that purpose, you know, trying to do the best I could at what I was doing, which I wasn't properly suited to getting to a point where I lost everything. I had to go live with my mother again for a period of time, sleep in the room that used to be my sister's room, you know, and sitting there on the bed one day, realizing I absolutely had nothing left and deciding, okay, well, here's an opportunity. You know, to start again, to re-clarify who's Ryan and what does Ryan want to do. Don't get me wrong, I was very thankful for my CA qualification. It helped me start again by doing some basic accounting, put bread on the table, and it helps me in my creativity today, believe it or not. But that was a point where it gave me the opportunity to rethink and to really dig deep. Having a few years after university, I wasn't an 18, 21-year-old anymore, having a few years and a bit of perhaps wisdom. What did I want to do? And I don't know. Let's not use that word too liberally. Yeah. And then that set me on a path to really, and that becomes the metrics these days is what speaks to my soul. That's the term I use a lot.
Yeah. But you moved on from the finance bit. I mean, talk to us a little bit about the Edgars bit, because I think that was kind of the first planting of the seed. I mean, the UK listeners will not know what Edgars is. So you might have to explain in terms of retail, but tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. So after I got myself involved in a relationship and I was still doing financial things and that fell apart. And in that process, I'd managed as a good CEO, managed to accumulate nice assets and investments and things like that, you know, planning and doing all of that. And then through this relationship and whatnot, started selling that stuff to fund other businesses. And that's what led me to this point, sitting in my sister's room. What used to be my sister's room, it was having nothing. I literally had nothing left financially. I didn't even have a car. It really, so what happened from there in tapping back into what feeds my soul, friends of mine asked me if I would write up their books for an PR company. And they did PR and marketing for Edgars. Edgars is not so much anymore. They've sort of lost their way. But back in the day, large retail clothing brand, they were everywhere. They were anchor tenants in every mall. And in those days, they were bringing in all the international brands. They had a side of the business that brought in Calvin Klein, that brought in Lipsy, Tom Leuen, all the makeup brands, I forget the names now, to the country. So I wrote up their books. I was doing that. It was a very simple exercise. And on the first meeting to present the management accounts, the two ladies say to me, we were friends, but we were now in a meeting. And they say, can you help us with something else? Oh, don't ask me a question like that, because the answer is always yes, before I even know what you've asked. They wanted me to help them with media monitoring. So I'm like, oh, okay, explain to you what media monitoring is. And as you will well know, and I'm sure many listeners will know, media monitoring is monitoring the exposure of those different brands in the media and reporting on it back to Edgar. So that's what I started doing. We built up this portfolio to about 35 different brands, I think we were going at one stage. So that got me involved, coming with my CA and accounting background, got me involved in reading blogs and understanding how media works, understanding how marketing works. That if I want this to happen, I structure a campaign and I work it like that. But if I want that, then I structure it this way. I watch what they were doing. And then reading all this media and reading some South African fashion blogs, especially from the guys, because I love fashion. And thinking to myself, oh, this writing is really not good, which is not a good thing to do if you don't write yourself. Be careful of that. You know? So I thought to myself, no, Ryan, you can't do that. Let me start writing. I'd always had this interest in writing, but never tried it, to be honest. So I did. I started writing a blog. It was a fashion blog, but it was that exposure, which called My Line Boots, which is the name I still use today. The exposure to the media and to the strategy behind media and marketing and PR, which you obviously well know, fascinated me. I think it fascinates. So that part of my brain, which is, I don't know, probably this side, is the accounting side, that mathematical side. It's still there and it still enjoys getting involved in these creative things. And I love patterns and things. So I started doing that. And that got me into writing more and photography, which was then ticking my box of doing things that were good for my soul, you know. Mm.
Nice, nice. So I think by the time those kind of like little, it feels like they're like tiny shifts are there. And at the moment, at the time, you don't know how monumental they're going to be. But actually, there was you were almost managing to infuse yourself a little bit more in the thing that you were doing every day. Yeah. So I think that fits nicely into what I want to ask you now, because we'll go into some of that detail a little bit later. But what would you say your definition or your concept is of personal brand? And how do you feel about your own personal brand?
To me, personal brand, in my case and in anyone's case, is it ties into authenticity. If you know who and what you are, and you're an authentic person because you know who and what you are, and that's a process in itself. I don't think many people at 18, 19 know who they are. So it's a difficult concept. It's something that evolves, I think, as we have life experiences, as things happen to us. So for instance, for me, losing all my money, not a bad thing at all. I mean, I would actually think about it the other day. About now, some of these properties would have been paid off. I would have had about 15, 20 properties paid off. I would have been in a completely different position. But I probably wouldn't have this creative outlet to do what I'm doing today. You know, so life events are important. That helps shape and helps us understand what we want and what we don't want. And I think in that, that helps us then develop our sense of authenticity, our sense of person. And that's what needs to be projected as your brand. Because if you're going to have a strategy that says Ryan is this, and I've got to remember every time I come to a meeting with you, what am I again? What are those five things?
It's what not am authentic. I again?
Not flying. It's not flying from the heart. You know, I'm talking rubbish to you. I'm coming to a meeting. I'm trying to sell you down the path. But if I just am who I am because I've tapped deeper into my soul, to be honest, then personal branding to me then will flow from there. Because especially in what I do, which is very storyline orientated. That's where the personal branding comes in, very much so, you know.
And then you talked a little bit, because we won't go into that bit because it's not the most important bit. You talked about a little bit about that blogging around fashion, and then obviously you almost like by default became an influencer as such, and we both don't particularly enjoy that term. No, I know. But during that time, you obviously had to create this online presence that matched that. When we were chatting, you were talking a little bit about this comfort zone of being in front of the camera. And I feel like, for a lot of people, that is a difficulty, right? Of getting over that discomfort. But it wasn't really from your standpoint. Do you want to talk us through a little bit like how you went from, you know, because also you got hacked, didn't you?
You had
to always start again. God's trying to tell you stuff, Ryan.
He
slaps you with these lightning moments so that you make decisions.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain to everybody what that hacking actually did for you? Because beforehand, it was very, not constrict. I don't know. How would you have described how you were actually approaching that whole online present and influencer life to actually how you approach it now?
Yeah. So initially, I started my writing career, which I'll call myself a journalist these days. It started out blogging. That's the only way. It was the easiest way for me to get in. Me with no journalist training or journalistic background. It never, even in those early days, which was about 2012, 2013, never entered into my head to approach the Sunday Times or Getaway Magazine or any of these publications and write for them. It's a very competitive market. It was probably less competitive then. But, you know, this was a natural way in for me. It's what I knew from all the media monitoring. And it was a natural fit for me at that point in time. Being in front of the camera really wasn't a problem for me. I've always enjoyed, even when I was a CA, I was lucky. I was at a medium-sized audit firm. And I used to work for the senior partner. And he used to take me often with all these listed clients to audit committee meetings. And I would have to sit there and present audit findings to this group of people who are way senior to me. But I just love that. I love having the room and being able to talk about something that I was knowledgeable about. In those days, it was your overs and unders on this audit schedule or whatever it was, you know?
Very exciting.
And so I'm used to, very, very dry. And then I would do the minutes and send the minutes out and follow up with the directors. You got an action point and you haven't done this. You know, interesting stuff for CAs. You know, all the CAs are getting excited now. But so I've always enjoyed public speaking and talking to people. It's easy for me. So I think standing in front of the camera was never an issue. You know, I think what I did realize that I only wrote the fashion blog for about a year. I kept the name. But after a year, you know, I was developing as a person, and I think your sense of purpose changes or evolves. I don't think it changes. You can't change it. It evolves. And I just realized that this fashion stuff wasn't quite ticking it for me. You know, the fact that you're wearing a yellow top today is great. It's lovely. But like, what does it actually say? You know what I'm saying? I wanted to write different stories. I wanted to write stories that shared an essence of something. So I converted the blog into a travel blog, which to me, I could then take the fashion along on the travel if I wanted to. And I was able to find deeper, richer stories, which really talk to my soul. And, you know, that's what I do. So I started doing a convert from the fashion to the travel. I still continued writing them as a blog. And I was still doing the media monitoring in those days. So I didn't have a need for the blog to make me money. If I got paid and being an accountant, I tried to negotiate payment on everything, but you know what it's like in this market, not everybody pays for that content. Mm. But I did make money, but certainly not enough for me to survive on. But I had the media monitoring job, which I was doing. So it sort of carried on at that point. And then during COVID, I lost the media monitor, or just before COVID, I lost the media monitoring and decided I needed to take the writing to another level.
You know? Right, so this is where I'm kind of curious now, and I want to get into these career shift things because, you know, we were at uni. Okay, obviously, I went on to do economics, and then when I came over to the UK, like a lot of the work I had to do was admin, low-level accounting roles, and it's very dry. And there was a point, though, where I made a conscious decision that I just didn't want to do it anymore. I had passed out. I was getting, you know, lumps and bumps in my body. That was obviously telling me, stress, Shirley, this isn't right for you. What are you doing? And again, I got that lightning like slap in the face going, okay, you need. Yeah. So it was obviously telling me it wasn't the work that was right for me and I was deeply unhappy. And if I hadn't made that conscious decision just at that point, because I've made many more since then, I wouldn't have jumped ship to leap into kind of the unknown. So you had this similar instant around this COVID time where you lost the media monitoring that. And I'm curious how you navigated having to then change, like, because you're talking now, you're at that pivot change of changing from that lifestyle into those travel things. So how did you navigate changing what it is that you say to people that you do? Because you almost got to consciously make that shift.
So I think the shift started firstly internally within me, and then I realized with this evolving sense of self, blogging wasn't working for me. And with all due respect to bloggers, I think they're vital and they fulfill a role, but it wasn't what I wanted to do anymore. To me, the blogging was entry-level writing. I didn't want to do that anymore. I wanted to do something that had more purpose and that would be taken more seriously. And unfortunately, you know, with the blogging space, look, I was also getting older, so I wasn't of the demographic that most people would pay for bloggers and influencers. You know, the demographic of those people that are bloggers, a lot of them are doing it at no cost and, you know, and purely on trade exchange. So it's difficult for me to come to you now and explain why you should. And I can give you every reason in the book and I can cost it and I can even prove an ROI for you in terms of on your marketing spend with what I can give you. But the value proposition wasn't there. They had given itself such a bad name. I knew I needed to make that shift into something more formal, which was the print and all through commissioned editorial, which is what I do today, you know. It was just sitting with me. I needed more than what I was doing. And that to me was the next.
I think what I love though is your story of how you literally tell us about Northcliffe. Tell us about that point where you're I'm not going to do a blog. I'm going to do this because I think that's cool.
So it was towards the end of COVID, and I was moving into the property that I live in now, which is in downtown Joburg, and it wasn't ready yet. So I had to stay with my dad for a month. Till it was ready for me. And I came in, well, he lives on the West Rand, and I came into Joburg to come and see something on a Saturday, see how far they were. And the GPS took me this route that I realized used to be a route that I used to drive on the reverse, some of it, from university to my dad on the weekends. My parents are divorced, so sometimes we'd have class on it or test on a Saturday and I would just drive to his house, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like a time warp. It was this area in Northcliffe, just the bottom of Northcliffe. And a long road with all these antique shops. And I was like fascinated by these things, you know. And I decided to go and write about it. So I went and, hello, my name's Ryan. Who are you? What do you do? And I spent about 2 or 3 days there photographing, getting people's stories. And I wrote it up. And I wasn't sitting there at the computer about to push publish, but I wrote it up and I thought to myself, well, hold on a second. What else can I do with this? If I don't want to really write blogs anymore, maybe I should try to get hold of Ghetto, which is South Africa's largest travel magazine. And I mailed the editor, got his details from a friend. Hello, I'm Ryan. This is what I do. This is my story. You know, it doesn't know
don't
me from a
bar.
I don't
think you can do that anymore today.
Oh, no, try. And he came back and loved the idea. And they published it. And then once it was published, they put it on the online platform. And he came back to me and he said, Ryan, this is probably the best performing story we have on our online platform. What you've got. Have you got more angles on Joburg? Don't ask me that because I've got 17 and a half a second for you, you know. So that's when it really came from that, you know, and that made me then think, okay, well, that's what people want to read about. That's what I love doing. I'm glad they want to read about what I love to go and do. And it was a case of taking it from there, getting more involved in Joburg, traveling or around South Africa, finding the stories locally, internationally as well. But that was a key moment for me. It's like, I'm not going to blog about this. I'm going to write about this. And nice. It was a mind shift. It was a very specific mind shift, you know.
Nice. And I think a little bit of what you said to me before is that you try not to overthink things.
Yeah.
I mean, did you ever overthink things? I'd like to know, because I get stuck down a rabbit hole of overthinking things.
Overthinking in terms of?
Well, I think you said to me something along the lines like all of these kind of little micro shifts for you over time. Well, now if you take a reflection point and look back and go, that all made sense. But what you almost were doing was taking these, you were following your intuition going, actually, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And some of them subtle, some of them conscious.
Yes,
but
yes. You're right. I mean, I'd never sat down and said to myself, okay, I need to start making more money from my writing. There wasn't a strategy behind it. It was following what I love doing. You know, I never sat down and thought to myself, now that you asked me this, I never sat down and thought to myself, is what I want to do, what do I love doing, writing about art, food, travel. I never sat down and thought, does that make money? Never thought that. Maybe I should have. Maybe my CS skills are not so great, you know. But I went along and did it anyway. And it's found an amazing platform, you know. It started with travel. And I now write about art. I write about opera. I write about fine dining. I had an amazing fine dining experience in Cape Town the other day last year. 3 hours, I was mesmerized by the sommelier talking to me about each of the 7 courses, and the chef who I'd been foraging with early in the year telling me about these different flavors. And he was, and to be able to write about that, and I'm not a food expert at all, I don't even cook, you know. So it's been able to tap into their stories and share their stories and give an opinion on it. So I don't do reviews. Reviews are not a thing that I do. I write about the journey, the experiential journey, you know. Yeah. But a lot of them has been led by the intuition and almost like a natural unfolding process, as opposed to a very clinical, strategic process, you know.
Yeah, no, I like that. So how would you describe, because I had a conversation with Nikki St. Paul in one of my previous episodes, and she was talking about, you know, as every one of us trying to almost find this ventral vagal, you know, position in terms of our nervous system where, you know, we're in a place doing the work that we love. We're in the flow where, you know, either that means you're in the flow and you're energized and comfortable and calm, and or you could be excited and time just flows. You know, what would you describe as you're in the flow, where you feel like you're in your genius zone and where time is just disappearing? How would you describe that looks for you?
You know, when you asked me this in our prep session, it took me off guard, because I never really thought about that. I know how I feel
now
when I'm in that space.
What's your answer?
Now that I'm to think. So, do you remember? I think it must have been your 21st. And we went to Cantina Tequila in Brixton. It must have been your 21st.
I have pictures.
And how do you? You must share them, because I don't. And we were dancing on the table. Remember, I used to dance on those tables. Those tables.
Yes, when we were young.
That's how I feel. I thought about it last night. It came to me last night. I was leaving a friend's house and it came to me out of nowhere. Cantina Tequila in Brixton. That's how I feel when I'm in that space. That sense of overwhelming joy and expression. That's how I feel when I'm in that space. When I'm sitting and writing, I can write, like you say, time just disappears. It takes me a while to write, but it feels like 5 minutes. You know, I literally will start with I'm very conscious about the process. So the way my articles work is I've had an idea, or I've had something that I wanted to do for a long time. I then plan something, I research it, I pitch it to the client, to the destination, and then I've got to pitch it to the publication to take the article. Once that's done, I then go traveling there. And I go shoot and I have the experience and I come back, and generally a week or two later I'll start to write. So it's a long time. The process is long. But the writing is very specific. You know, I've now had all these experiences. They're all in my head. I remember the texture of the forest floor as I walked, and seeing that first pine ring mushroom when the chef pulled it out the forest ground and thinking about snakes on that one and whatever it may be. And it's time to start writing.
Yeah,
very worried. Thinking I'm lucky that the snake didn't come out. And I will start with a blank Word document. And I'll look at that little word count on the bottom left of my screen. It says zero. And I'll just sit and take in for a moment that there's something's about to unfold. And I'm going to sit soon, within a day or so, with 850 words, whatever it is, whatever the commission is, of something quite special. I'm conscious of that. I mark those times between nothing and this process of creativity. Of this thing is created. It's like an artist painting a picture. You know,
that's
this
what
is,
I said.
This is
you create storytelling art. This is what you do.
Thank you. I'm glad you see that.
For all of that you just said and the bits that you said before that, it feels like, and I know you might have had some time to think about this again, but joy is definitely one of your success measures.
100%, definitely.
And guess what? The money has actually proved you right, as for no later.
It has. It's not the same as when I was a CA, unfortunately. But, you know, I got to the stage of my life when I realized there's something way more important than money is that sense of joy, you know. Like, it's not that there's no pressure. I mean, like, I'm under hectic pressure at the moment to deliver an article, but I'm not having sleepless nights about it. It's you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a nice pressure. I'll probably wake up at 3:30 tomorrow morning to finish it off.
And the words will
because
flow.
I set the alarm. Yeah, exactly. Hopefully. From your lips to God's ears. But I think that's the synchronicity of being in that space, of knowing who you are, knowing what works well for you. The joy wouldn't flow like this if I was still doing CA work. You know what I'm saying?
No.
And there that would have earned probably 10 times what I'm earning now. It's not about the money. But I doubt I'd be waking up 3:30 in the morning. I probably would be awake at 3:30 in the morning, stressing about what I hadn't done. But yeah, 100%. And this is way healthier, you know? So finding that purpose, tapping into that purpose, knowing that purpose, that to me is, you can't any other way.
Oh, love it. Love it. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Sure. Thank you.
Oh my God. I can't believe you just you threw me into Cantina Tequila there.
I thought I'd get you there.
I got all emotional.
It really came out the middle of nowhere. It came out the middle of nowhere last night.
It was the best night. It was
I remember that.
I don't have a lot of memories of my teens and my early 20s, but you know, those kinds of moments. I think sometimes my memories only stay if I've got an emotive feeling of what it was like to be in that moment as opposed to, you know, but thanks, man. Yeah. I've got to go find these pictures now.
Oh, please send them to me. Send me some on WhatsApp. Thank you.
Oh, man, I've just really loved watching your content as well on Instagram. I mean, I was gutted when you got hacked. You know, I felt like you'd worked really hard on that. But ever since then, I really enjoy. You've got just such a beautiful way with words and with your photography that is just it's next level. It's not it's not superficial. I think it is. We can see this window in your soul, and because you match your words so beautifully with your images, I think you are a genius of what you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm really hoping, I think what you have helped us all to learn, I think, is to just listen more to our instincts. I think get really comfortable, you know, with who we are, what we want, and just go out there into the world and just be open
to
whatever
100%.
May come. And I think I can say hopefully confidently that I feel like your work really speaks to what drives and motivates you and what's important to you. And I think you also make it very, very clear about who you are so that people get you and they get you quicker, even from a distance.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't spoken in, I don't know, 20 years, I'm scared to say. But I feel I still because through your work, I feel like I've always kind of kept this little tenuous string of understanding who Ryan has grown up to be, because we were young.
we were
adults now.
Young and irresponsible, dancing on tables in Brixton.
Oh, man, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. If anybody wanted to get in touch more and just see what your, you know, see your work, connect with you, do you want to give us something? And then I'll obviously put the links in the show notes.
Sure. The best way to get hold of me is through my website, which is www.mylineboots. Line is in the color, like the green. Mylineboots.co.za. That's where all my stuff is on there. Or through my Instagram account, my_lime_boots. Thank you for the hacking. Now I've got all these underscores. That's the best way to get hold of me, you know?
And the boots, I was thinking about this while I was walking the dog this morning. I was like,
yeah.
Do you call Do you call them wellies in the UK? I can't remember. Or are they gum boots? Because they were actually lime coloured boots.
They are. We call them, I don't know, you know what the weather is like in South Africa. We don't.
Yeah, I know.
I think they call them more gum boots. You know, there's no real need for them, you know, unless you work in the garden, a lot of garden. I think they'll call them wellies.
On a farm.
On a farm, something like that. Yeah, but I'm looking at them now. I've got about three or four pairs of these lime green boots sitting here, you know, which I used to wear. I used to every year buy another pair in a different color. And I've got one with the Union Jack on. I've got a purple pair. I've got lime green. And then I used to wear them all over the place. People used to look at me as if I was weird. I just love that, you know.
Oh, thanks, Van Ryan.
Thank you.
And that's it for this episode, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. So, what did you think? Did Ryan inspire you to check in with yourself and ensure that what you're doing today is really what lights you up? He did for me, that's for sure. It's also reinforced for me that it is important to not only do the work on actually reflecting on who you are and what you do that's magical for others. It's also important to marry that with your joy factor. What are you here to do in the world and what makes you feel good? My theory is the better you are with being more you, more of the time, the more joy and connection will come your way in working with the humans you most want to work with. So who do you know who could do with hearing Ryan's journey to finding his genius and how he goes into the world with it? Share this episode. You know you want to. Until next time, my friends, stay strong, believe you have value, and make good brand decisions.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Compass. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share it with your entrepreneurial friends and help them make good brand decisions. Until next time, let's keep the conversation going at shellyrosland.com.